The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's I on Real Estate on AM 970. The Answer.
AM 970 presents I on Real Estate. This is your premier source for real estate information. From the hot properties in the tri-state to the latest in real estate market trends. From mortgage news to answers to all of your real estate questions, you'll be in the know with help from the experts. Call now, 866-970-9622. 866-970-9622. Now, here's your host for I on Real Estate, Douglas Elliman's CEO, Dottie Herman.
We're back. You're listening to I Am Real Estate. I'm here with Ace for the two part. One of these days I'll get it.
No,
there.
It's good. It's good, there. Dottie. You're getting
who's
there.
Who's our financial expert from Citizens Bank? And Andrew Lee, who's our legal expert. And Andrew is an author, has a school, does really an expert in any real estate questions you need. And we have a special guest who will be joining us. She's joining us now, and her name is Jennifer Polevsky, and she is at the law firm of Sanchez and Polevsky, and she is a seasoned litigator with extensive experience in all aspects of eminent domain and real estate law. So, Andrew, I think you should introduce her, and you should talk a little about so that everyone knows what eminent domain is.
Sure, and I'm super excited to have you on, Jennifer.
Hi,
thank
Jennifer.
You. Thank you for having me.
Jennifer, we were debating how to say your last name, so I want to make sure we're saying it right as I'm doing this. So
Polevsky.
Tell me, say it.
Polevsky. So just sound it out.
Oh.
Polo, then vet, then ski. Polevsky.
Oh, I like that. Polevsky.
I say when you do it phonetically, you're right. It's easy.
Yeah. Polevsky. When you do it in three segments, it's good.
Gotcha.
So everyone's going to need to know Jennifer Polevsky. And the reason why is that eminent domain, I get clients in my law firm, Jennifer, all the time, and they don't realize that the government could come and they can take your property. And that you have rights.
Yeah.
And there's stuff that happens. So what I'm going to do first is I'm just going to tell people that if they go to splaw.com, you can find Jennifer.
And Jennifer, SPNY Law. Sorry to interrupt you.
Please.
SPNY Law.
NY, please. Yeah. No, I'm glad you did. That's very important. SPNYlaw.com. So what happened, Jennifer, is Dottie and Ace and I, we were reading about Governor Cuomo. And he's talking about what he's doing at Penn Station to increase the tracks. And Dottie said to me about eminent domain. And I said, we need to get Jennifer. We need to get Jennifer. Jennifer. So, Jennifer, can Governor Cuomo just take the property around Penn Station? What's that about?
Well, Governor Cuomo himself is not taking anything. Interestingly enough, my law partner, Philip Sanchez, was interviewed about this on Fox 5 News a couple weeks ago. Governor Cuomo
almost as good as AM 970.
Governor Cuomo can direct a government agency. It's probably going to be ESD, Empire State Development, or another government agency to go ahead and take additional property by eminent domain to increase the tracks at Penn Station because it is a public use. And the government is allowed to take property for a public use under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. The caveat,
so slow
though,
down
is
for
they
a second
have to
for
pay
me.
Just compensation. Sure.
When you say they're going to go take the property, do you just wake up and your property's gone? Like, I don't understand. Break it down for me. Like, how the notice works. What should people know if they own this property? Should they wake up and think the government's Gestapo at their door? Like, what happens?
Okay. So it depends which agency is taking by eminent domain. If it's completely a state agency, say the New York State DOT, they will notify the property owner or the business tenant. Business tenants can get compensated for their trade fixtures as well. We can talk about that a little later.
Cool.
They will send them a notice, and they will say, hi, you know, your property is going to be taken by eminent domain, and this is when we're going to take it, and this is what we're going to do. With the DOT and a purely state agency, once they fulfill their notice requirements and they make the initial offer to the property owner, they can go ahead and file a piece of paper with the county clerk, and then they send you notice afterwards saying, we now own your property.
So back up for a second, Jennifer. Jennifer, yeah. I want to slow it down again. So,
sure.
Like, let's assume you get this notice and you do nothing. Did I just hear you say they just take your property automatically?
That would be the state, yes. You do nothing, they're going to take it regardless of what you do. If it's
and
the
how
city,
long do you have to do something?
Well, so let's talk about that for a second.
Let's say it's
so
the state
the
every
city,
time. Let's just imagine it's the state to keep it simple, and then we could
the
go
state,
from there.
Okay, because the city has to go to court with a petition. So it's a little bit longer of a process for the city or quasi-state agency. So they take your property by eminent domain, and basically, you know, you hire an attorney. They give you an offer, right? So let's say they offer you, I don't know, $1 million for your building. But your building is worth $10 million.
It is.
So they come in, they
I
say,
agree.
We're giving, right. So they're giving you an offer for $1 million. And you have two options. You can say, thank you very much. I'll take this as a settlement in full. Have a nice day. I'll go live my life. Or you could say, thank you very much. I'll take this as an advance payment, but I'm going to reserve my right to file a claim for additional compensation.
How
and
long do you
call,
have to do that? That's what I want to know.
If
when
it's
do you
state?
Like? When do you have to make the decision? It's the state. You get this notice,
wait, slow
and
down,
you own
slow
one,
down,
one of these
down.
Properties.
Wait, slow
yeah,
down.
That's what I want to do.
Yeah,
I want to slow it down.
Slow it down
so
for a second. So
get a notice.
Andrew, slow it down. Okay, let everyone digest. Okay, the fact, the question Andrew's asking is, okay, so the government tells you we're using your property for whatever reason they need to use it. They all have the right to use it.
They own it.
They have that right. And Andrew's question, just for our listeners to hear what's going on, is, okay, how long when you get the notice, if they said how long do you have, not that you can fight it because they have the right to do it, but how long do you have to put in notice that you're going to
file a claim.
Yeah, file a claim and then argue on the value. And by the way, just so everybody in the show knows, the value of property is not a science. There's not a formula, okay? So it's an estimate. So because there's not a formula, whether it's a residential piece of property, whether it's a commercial piece of property, the government can say it's worth X, and you can fight and say it's worth more. I think that is what you're saying. And that's where you need an attorney like Jennifer to come in, right?
Yes, you're 100% correct. So if it is a purely state taking, you have 3 years within which to file a claim.
Okay.
So you get 9% interest a year if it's a state taking on any additional compensation. So let's say the taking happens on Monday. Just making it up. Taking happens on Monday. They go ahead, they say, we're giving you $1 million, right? It takes them 3 months to give you the check because you have to clear title, make sure all the mortgages are paid off, whatever, right? The interest accrues on that initial award. If you file a claim within 6 months, your interest never stops running. You still have 3 years to file a claim. If you file a claim, say, after 8 months or a year, you get interest for the first 6 months. Then the interest stops in the interim, and it starts again when you file a claim. Regardless, if it's a purely state taking, you have 3 years within which to file a claim for additional compensation, not only for the value of your property, but if you're a business tenant, for all your trade fixtures, for your installations. Like the classic example is a pizzeria, right? Let's say I own a building, and my tenant is a pizzeria. My tenant built everything out himself. I gave him a vanilla box. He built everything out himself. I'm getting the value for my building, for the real estate. The tenant, if it says so under the lease, which most leases do say, has the right to file a separate claim for compensation for his pizza ovens, for his flooring, for any, you know, any improvements basically that he, you know, made to the property in the course of his business for business purposes. And that won't deduct from my real estate award.
Well, that's
two different things.
Yeah.
Two different things. A lot of times people, you know, we talk to tenants and they say, but I have a great relationship with my landlord. I don't want to hurt my landlord. And we tell them, you're not hurting your landlord. A lot of times we represent both the landlord and the tenant because they're not, they don't have conflicting claims. They have separate claims.
But don't you, let me ask you this. Don't you, or then have to go and fight, like get an attorney that fights for your value opposed to the state having, in other words, then aren't you like in a litigation over the value of something?
Because
they're saying your value is one number and you're saying your value is higher.
Right. Correct? We're the attorneys that fight for the higher value. That's us.
Right. So you're going to help that person get a higher number. Now, how much would that cost somebody?
Well, so it all depends on the case. Usually we take it on contingency. So we take a percentage over and above what the person was initially offered. So they don't really feel it.
Right.
I mean,
right.
We wait to get our money, but, you know, we do a good job. So in the end, we get paid. So they don't really feel it. So they're able to, you know, run their business and you know, continue with their lives and take their, you know, take the money from the real estate, invest it in something else, kind of without interference from us. Some clients prefer to hire us hourly. That's up to them. Most of our cases are contingency.
Just so our listeners know, if somebody takes a case on contingency, if an attorney takes a case like that, then just so you know what that means is you don't have to pay them unless they win. So unless they are able to get you a higher value, Jennifer, your firm doesn't take any money from somebody. So they really have nothing to lose, do they?
No, they have nothing to lose and everything to win. Another interesting thing that I think your listeners should know about is Section 1033 of the Internal Revenue Code. I know you guys are probably pretty familiar with 1031 and the qualified intermediaries, but in condemnation, you get a 1033. So the money you get in condemnation can be tax deferred. You have 3 years to take the money that you get from a condemnation award and reinvest it in something else, and you don't need a qualified intermediary. Of course, there
just
are four.
Okay, well, just wait. In layman's language. So basically, because, you know, I mean, listen, you're in a specialty, and this is not something that ever happens every day of the week. So a lot of people, you know, might not really even understand that, and hopefully it will never happen to you, because I certainly wouldn't want it to happen to me unless I, you know, made millions on it, and I don't know if that's the case. I still wouldn't want it to happen to me. But if it does happen to you, what she's saying is that money that you make above the value, would it be?
It's the money that you make in a condemnation award.
Right.
You know, I mean,
so
you're
talking about capital gains tax, right?
Exactly.
That's what you're referring
capital
to.
Capital gains tax, correct.
So what you're saying is that if you bought the property at, let's say, $1 million and you got $10 million, the tax on the spread, am I correct, Jennifer?
I'm not 100% sure if it's a tax on the spread or it's the tax on the entire condemnation award that you got. You would have to speak to a tax attorney exactly to figure out what your basis is.
Right. But
your point is that you could defer it, though, and you don't have to pay the tax.
Right, and you don't need what's called a 1031 exchange agent, which a lot of people with commercial property, they have to do the like-kind exchange. There's all these rules. The rules are a lot more relaxed in condemnation, because it's a forced sale. It's considered a forced sale. It's not something you did voluntarily.
All right. So what you all should just know, okay, because you don't have to get that, you know, that involved with it unless it affects you, is that if you do get a condemnation case, obviously you should use an attorney that specializes in this, okay? Obviously, Jennifer, your firm does. Sanchez and Polovetsky,
yes.
Is that basically certiorari, or that's just basically?
It's eminent domain. We don't really do certiorari.
Okay, that's when you want to reduce the taxes, right?
Correct. Okay. Yes, we don't really do certiorari.
Now, so
another
Jennifer,
interesting thing in eminent domain is, let's go back to my $1 million, $10 million example, right? The government comes in, they give you $1 million. We say it's worth $10 million. We get our own appraiser. We fight it out. We win. We get you $9 million.
Right?
Okay. Because you never get 100%, right? We get you $9 million. So since we've litigated it and we went to trial, because you got such an increase in your award, you are entitled to then file a separate lawsuit to get your attorney's fees and your appraiser fees back.
Wow.
It's almost like the loser wins.
Well, yes. So in other words, they're saying if they take your property because they need to use it for whatever, they're going to compensate. You have the rights to really get a fair, at least at the very minimum, a very fair compensation, and also not pay capital gains taxes if it's, you know, as much as you would. So, it's, again, I wouldn't want it to happen to me because I probably like where I live. But if it's going to happen, I think when you speak to, you know, that you should call an attorney like Jennifer and her firm that specializes and that there are remedies. But can, I think the question that most people would just ask, can they stop it? Can they say, I don't want you to build this highway and knock my house down? And don't, you know, don't, can they, you, can they, is there any way they can appeal you, them taking the property?
So you can, so they have to have a public hearing. In most cases, they have to have a public hearing telling you what's going on. And then, you know, you have, it's something called a 207 challenge, eminent domain procedure law 207. You go to the appellate division and you challenge it, you know, within 30 days. And you say, okay, this is not a public use. Or they didn't check off all the boxes that they were supposed to do under the law, you know, before taking this. Usually those fail. Pretty much in New York, almost anything is considered a public use, right? It, definitely expansion of the rail system is a public use. Alleviating urban blight, you know, cleaning up, you know, bad neighborhoods.
What
that's
about highways?
A public use.
What
highways
about highways?
Are definitely a public
okay,
use.
Okay, you know, if you think about all the highways that we built, at some point somebody might have lived in those houses and they knocked them down. So
yep.
How do we get in touch with you, Jennifer? Like, how do we, you're on the web. What is your, how does somebody get a hold of you?
Okay, well, they can go to our website, which is www.spnylaw.com. They can call us at 212-209-3918, or they can email us at info@spnylaw.com.
Okay, do you want to say that again for everyone?
Sure. They can go to our website, www.s, like Sam, P like Peter, nylaw.com, spnylaw.com. They can call us at 212-209-3918, or they can email us at info@spnylaw.com.
Okay.
Or they can just Google either of our names, Jennifer Polovetsky or Philip Sanchez, my law partner, and it'll come right up.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. It's such valuable
thanks,
information.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you, and have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Now,
so, Dottie, yes. I just want you to know, I've had so many people come to my office that had these takings happen, and they didn't call someone like Jennifer, and they're 4 or 5 years too late. And you got to pay attention to what she said about that 3 years and get in touch before it's too late. Please do that.
Well, when you say it's too late, just so I clarify that, you don't mean that you don't get anything. You just mean if you want to fight whatever they're offering you. Okay, you're
I mean,
always
when you
gonna,
think it's...
just let me clarify that.
Please.
It's not that you're going to get X amount of money, regardless of whether you... whether you file it or not, or whether you contest, but if you don't contest it within that certain period, if you think that you should be getting more money or more compensation, then you can't really then make a case about that. So I think that's, but the government's always going to pay you of some value.
I always find that the government has a lower value than you do of your property.
Well, you're probably correct on that. And again, when we argue value, if you have an appraiser, that's why in the real estate business, one appraiser can come in at one number and another appraiser can come in 10% higher or 10% lower, and they both all be correct because appraising, as I said, pricing something is value. There's no formula for it, okay? There's, you know, and somebody could look at, they could take comparable properties and look at the lower ones that sold, or somebody could look at the higher ones that sold. So generally, it's in their best interest to probably give you a lower price if that's within reason and fair. And you probably can give you, you know, if you have a good case. And obviously, an attorney that takes it on a contingency, which means that they don't get paid if they don't win, is not going to take a case if they think they're going to lose. Correct?
I completely agree. And I always tell my clients this. An attorney knows the prices better than you do. So if they're going to take it on contingency, they 100% think that they're going to win. They think they have a good case.
Yeah. I think that they're going to give us a break. I mean, this is not something I would want to find. I just find it. It's not amusing. I just was reading that these people, you know, bought a home, and it was in Maryland. And when they bought the house, what do they find? They find a body of a 39-year-old woman who had called the property home last Saturday, and they found her dead when they moved into the home.
No!
No way.
Yeah. Wow. And the police said there was no foul play. So how did that happen? I mean, that's kind of traumatic, don't you think? I just find that very traumatic. We're going to talk about a little bit more, okay?
Can you eat solar energy? The sun provides us with the cleanest and most pure form of energy, and plants are able to take the energy and lock it into a chemical bond. That captured energy is clean solar energy. So how can you get that same solar energy inside your body? When you eat fruits and vegetables, you are actually absorbing that same stored solar energy into your system. What's the easiest way to eat a lot of fruits and vegetables? Balance of Nature. By simply removing the water and air, Balance of Nature can take 31 whole fruits and vegetables and put them into quick and easy to eat capsules. With just 3 fruit capsules and 3 veggie capsules, you get the equivalent of over 10 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. That's a lot of stored energy that your body will love. So if you're looking for an easier way to get clean energy, go to balanceofnature.com and order your bottles of sunshine today.
This is Dr. Howard, founder and formulator of Balance of Nature. We're changing America one life at a time.
I love Balance of Nature. I think it's the best thing out there. I really do. I'm never getting off it. Best thing I ever did.
I originally started taking it. I heard it on the radio because I had some tremendous stomach problems. And I went to the doctor. I was getting tested. They did all kinds of tests. They couldn't find anything. And I started taking this product. And within 2 weeks, it was gone. But I'm convinced that this product has a lot to do with that.
Don't wait to see what getting over 10 servings of whole fruits and vegetables every day can do for you. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order of fruits and veggies. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com, and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code THEANSWER.
Can Mazda be sued for the death of a car passenger because of the design of their seatbelt? That's just one of the challenging issues tackled by our guest on Champions of Justice this weekend. He's attorney Martin Buchanan, an extraordinary appellate lawyer who has appeared before the U.S. Supreme Court. He talks with Tom Girardi about what it takes to appear before the highest court in the land. Tune in Champions of Justice, Sunday mornings at 10 here on AM 970 The Answer.
GEICO presents Left Brain versus Right Brain.
After much deliberation, I've decided we should switch to GEICO.
Hey, sounds good to me.
We could save hundreds of dollars on our car insurance.
Which, now I'm just blue skying here, we can reinvest those funds into my business idea.
Oh, not this again.
First, get some investors on board, right?
Nobody is going to invest in dental floss made of turkey jerky.
Okay. Well, not with that attitude. Wow.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It's I on Real Estate. Got a question? Call 866-970-9622. Here's Douglas Elliman's CEO, Dottie Herman.
We're back, and you're listening to I on Real Estate. I'm here with Andrew Lieb, Ace Water Two Part, and we had a great guest on who talked about eminent domain. And again, you just have to know the broad topic. You don't have to be an expert. Just know that if you get a notice that you need to get an attorney, and they'll let you know if they think that they can do something or not, because they're not going to take a case for free if they don't think they could get something out of it. We had a lot of guests on the show over the last couple of months, and we talked a lot about the changing a lot of the rental laws in New York, and the Real Estate Board of New York really tried to work with the politicians, because sometimes when people change things, they think they're doing it for a good reason and they think it's really going to help, but it really backfires in their face, but their intentions were good. So we think that everything that was done with the government, their intentions were good. For example, and I just want to show you sometimes how things happen where you're trying to do something good, but you don't really work with both sides, so you don't know the outcomes. For example, they put a commission, a rental cap, say, designed with the best intentions to make renting apartments more affordable for New Yorkers on the edge. And this proposal to put the cap on commission rental agents that can charge 1 month's rent. So they put that on, but because they thought rental agents were making so much money, okay, that they're all millionaires. Now,
that didn't go through, though, Dottie.
I know, but but let's just look at their intent. Their intent wasn't a bad intent. Their intent was, let's help people who don't have money, that much money, be able to afford the commissions. But they were watching Million Dollar Listing too long. And I love Million Dollar Listing. Frederick works for us. Okay.
What a kick. Tracy, what a kick that guy has.
But they're thinking that most real estate rental agents make millions and millions of dollars and everything is like Million Dollar Listing. And it's not. Now, as of yet, there's been no action taken. Most rental agents struggle to make a living. Don't forget, real estate is not a salary job. Okay, so you only make money when you sell something, and you know it's definitely not consistent. So there's no answer on that. But the intention was a good intention, but you need to work with both sides of so you can kind of come out with a solution that, as I say, is a win-win. Now look at
Dottie. I just want to make it clear for our listeners, though, that this is just a city proposal. This wasn't a statewide proposal.
Right.
New York City was trying to do this. So if you're outside in Westchester, this isn't about you. But in New York City, they had this thing called 1423-2019, and they had a meeting this week, and they're still trying to get rid of it. But I just want everyone to not freak out if you're outside New York City.
No, but it didn't go through, and there's nothing to freak out about. Okay. And we'll let you know, because there's not much you could do if it did go through.
Yeah.
Okay? And this has been going on for a long time. It's not new news. Now, they proposed the Piero tax, and they've been proposing this for a long time. This is not new news. If you've been listening to our show, you would have known about this a long time ago. Proposed. It doesn't mean they did it. And that's why I like everyone to be informed, because then you can do something about it. But basically, what is a Piero tax? And this is for... they want to put it on part-time New Yorkers, meaning people that have apartments in the city that don't live there full-time. Does it mean somebody who lives in Europe? Yes. Somebody who lives in Asia? Yes. But you could live, okay, in Connecticut and have a Pierre Terre in New York City, and it would still affect you. So anyone with a legal residency elsewhere who nonetheless spends considerable time and money can choose to live in the city if their tax burden, they will not, so they're not going to do it if the tax burden becomes too great. So by taxing Peter Tears, what is really the city's end result going to do? It's going to take a lot of people and everyone, again, that have a second bought something, and many of them bought it years ago, or some of them bought a little apartment for their child when they were in college. I know a lot of parents that try to help out their kids so they can go to school in the city, and then they just kept it. Now, it as a one-time tax, it generates substantial income, and they've already approved that you get paid, you know, there's a one-time tax. But if it starts going up every single year that there's a special tax, what will be the repercussions? I think you'll drive a lot of people out of New York City. And I was just listening, because the Super Bowl, obviously, is tomorrow.
Can't wait. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so
are you
going
to watch, Dottie?
Of course. They were in Miami. And so one of the news stations was saying, look, you know, we're in Miami. It's so nice. We're not cold. We're not in New York. It's great here. And this state is great because of, and they said New York was the number one state of people moving, not to Miami, but to Florida. Now, some of it's just climate, I'm sure. And some of it is, you know, But a lot of it is also taxes. There's no state tax in Florida, which they were talking about this morning. And there was somebody, I can't remember who I saw interviewed, and it's a young person who's pretty successful and has a family, makes a lot of money, and was from California, which is the second highest tax state. And he said, you know what? I just had it. I was paying so many taxes that I moved my whole family to Florida. Now, so again, I think New York, and I want to say this, I think that New York is a great place to live, and people want to be here, and that's why they pay the prices they do. But there becomes a tipping point where people say that's enough. And I think that, you know, we're kind of at that point now. So, you know, I think that hopefully they kind of look at a balance. But I think that everything comes from a good place. People's intentions
that's so true.
Are not yeah. bad. Okay, it's a matter of, you know, stepping back and not getting what I see happened in politics, which I don't usually discuss on the show, and I'm not, but everyone just got stuck, you know, and what they, you know, and everything broke down. And I think that with laws, we have to know about them, because a lot of times when a politician makes something, they're doing it with a good intent, but if they haven't lived in that business world or in that, they sometimes don't think of all the repercussions. So hopefully they will change that because I think that that would hurt New York City, and I don't think we should do that. I think that there are so many people that don't live in here full time, but they live here, but they're a lot. Their business is here, and it's not necessarily from another country. It's just like some of the neighboring states.
Or from Long Island, like to go to the city. Well, my family has a pied de terre there. Like that's, you go in for the day. You can't stay otherwise. Like it's very important. Yeah. And so, Dottie, I like what you just said, though, and a relative of mine said this years ago. With politicians, don't challenge their intent, challenge their policies.
Again,
and it makes it much
right.
healthier.
I think that's a good way to look at things, because, you know, I don't think most people's intentions are bad. I think that they haven't thought it out. You know, it's like when you have a plan and you think it sounds great, and then all of a sudden as you think about it and as you start to enact it, there's parts of it that just don't work. And then you say, oh, well, it sounded good. So I think that everything is, you know, trying to be fair or trying to make things more affordable. But tax-wise, I will say, and being in the business a long time, I love New York. I love New York City. But you want to make sure people get taxed, because you want to transit. You want to make sure you have good subways, good transportation. But there becomes a point where you have to be a little competitive. And Florida is really reaping that, I believe, because of a lot of it because of the state tax, some of it because of just climate, that people don't want to be in the cold, especially as they get older. So I think we should think. I think we should think about that.
Dottie, did you see that Florida just overtook Texas as the number one destination this week?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, Florida overtook Texas, according to the U-Haul destination poll. And it's happening in Florida, all over, North Florida, West Florida, South Florida. I'm loving it there.
Well, it's not just, you know, about Miami. I mean, it just happens to be that the Super Bowl's there. By the way, Ace and Andrew, who do you think's going to come in?
It's a tough one. I'm still going with Kansas City, so we'll see.
Well, now, was it the Kansas City, was it 50 years ago or something like that?
Yeah.
Was the last time they
Long
won?
Long time.
So I think
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, it's going to be close, but I think a lot of people, because they just want them to have a win. I think it's been 50 years or something I was reading that they didn't win a Super Bowl, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm sure everybody's going to be watching that. And that's one of the good things about football. I mean, whether you like it or not, people get together and watch the Super Bowl. Some of the people don't even know really football. Okay.
Well, you know what it is, Dottie. They have the best food.
And it's a uniting event.
Well, it's.
What's your favorite treat, Ace, at a Super Bowl? You go to a Super Bowl meal. What do you eat? What's your favorite thing to eat there?
Oh, I don't even know. There's so much food. But
the dip,
you
man.
Dip,
when you get
right?
the, oh, it's so good. The cheese dip, the three layer. I can't wait.
Right. So, Ace, I just want to again tell all our listeners, this is absolutely the lowest interest rates we've had Over how many years?
It's a long time.
A long time. So I want you to all tell your friends and your families that if you haven't looked at your mortgage and you haven't refinanced it, you need to do that ASAP. We'd love you to come to Citizens, but yes, regardless of where you go, at least go somewhere.
Just go somewhere.
Okay,
exactly.
Because it was going to be saving you millions, like so much money that you're just throwing your money away by not doing it. And unless you bought a house within the last, what, year or so,
mm-hmm,
I think you're going to find a big savings. And it can't hurt. It's free to dial and find out from Ace. We'll be right back after our commercial. We'll be right back. And we're going to be talking about when you need a certificate of occupancy in New York City. Not running from no.
Hi, it's Joe Piscopo. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. If you're looking for a special way to show your loved one how much they mean to you, why not spend it on board the Atlantis yacht for New York Cruise's special Valentine's Day dinner cruise, sailing from Elizabeth, New Jersey around New York Harbor with gorgeous views of Lower Manhattan, the Statue of Liberty, the Brooklyn Bridge, all guaranteed to set the mood for you and your sweetie. The Valentine's Day cruise includes a special four-course Valentine's Day dinner menu, open bar, a 360-degree view of the skyline, and more. The Atlantis Yacht boards at 7:30 p.m. from Elizabeth, New Jersey. Love is in the air and on board every New York cruise. But there's something magical about the Atlantis Yacht on Valentine's Day. Tickets start at $199 per person. You can call 718-646-8083. That's 718-646-8083. 718-646-8083. Or go to NewYorkCruises.com. Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. You know, Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you listening to AM 970 The Answer. You get great discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener specials. Get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. Mike is offering a first-time buy one, get one free offer today on Giza Sheets. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go please to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener specials for the buy one, get one free offer on Giza Sheets. I'm telling you, when I sleep on my bed, I think of you. I really do, because it's so comfortable. I have the mattress topper. I have the MyPillow, but I have these Giza Sheets, and I have the pillowcases, the Giza pillowcases. I'm getting the best night's sleep because of that. Enter promo code AM970 or call 800-651-0798 for these great specials. 800-651-0798. Promo code AM970. Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. Delarusso Laser Vision is the only place to go for all your eye care needs. They specialize in LASIK surgery, but also cataract treatment, eye exams, and a variety of designer eyeglass frames. They're a private family practice with locations in New Jersey, Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Lake Success, Long Island. You can't find the years of experience Delarusso Laser Vision has anywhere else. Dr. Joseph Delarusso pioneered LASIK surgery, and along with his son, Dr. Jeffrey, they've performed over 165,000 procedures. He's been featured on Good Morning America, 2020, Good Day New York, 60 Minutes, and in the New York Times. The Delarusso Laser Vision team works with the best and safest lasers. Even Frankie and Al got their LASIK done by Delarusso. Trust only the best with your vision. Call Delarusso Laser Vision today to schedule a free consultation with Dr. Delarusso. 855-646-2020. 855-646-2020. Or visit Delarusso.com.
It's I on Real Estate. Got a question? Call 866-970-9622. Here's Douglas Elliman's CEO, Dottie Herman.
We're back. Well, I was going to talk about something, but I changed my mind. I don't want to talk about that. It's too heavy and too technical. Sometimes you need to be a little light.
A little light.
Okay, because we had a very heavy-duty conversation about eminent domain and how you can take that from people, and I keep on pushing. And again, I hope that you come to Citizens, but if you don't, at least go somewhere, because you have an opportunity to save a lot of money now. And look, I'm the first one to tell you that in my life, I always was busy, 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 and we all get busy and sometimes don't do smart things for ourselves. So if you know anybody that's got a mortgage, it costs nothing to give a call, find out what your mortgage rate is. What is the ACE now? And so each point is going to save you a lot of money.
3.25 for a 30-year fixed rate.
Yeah. And by the way, the interest and you know, that the cost of a mortgage is a lot. So it's going to save you a lot of money, and it costs nothing to do it. And I think most people forget about doing it. Why? Because they're busy.
Yeah.
We all get busy in our lives. And sometimes then we just don't do smart things for ourselves. I had some other questions, and it says to just came in. It says, I want to move, because I guess we were talking about Florida. I want to move to my mom's New York apartment for the summer or for the winter while she's in Florida, because she goes to Florida every winter. But the condominium board, the co-op board, I'm assuming it's the co-op board, says I can't stay there while she's gone. Mm-hmm. Is this legal?
What a good question.
That's a good question.
And so it matters if it's a condo or a co-op, Dottie.
It doesn't. She doesn't say it. So, you know, by the way, Christy from upstate New York, you need to tell us whether it's a co-op.
So I'll answer it both ways. Okay. I'll answer it both ways. If it's a condo, they can do whatever they want. If it's a co-op is actually a rental in the state of New York, and in every state, you get a proprietary lease. She's in New York. That's why I mention it that way. And there's a law in the state of New York, in the real property law, that says that if someone's occupying a place as their primary residence, the landlord, or the co-op board in this sense, can't stop immediate family members from living there or additional occupants. So the question is, and this is my question back to our questionnaire, is mom living there as her primary residence? I know she went to Florida, but like my father goes back and forth from Florida. Which one's her primary residence? If it is her primary residence, you should look up Real Property Law 235-F or call an attorney, because you have rights.
Okay, so that's good to know. Now, going back to the rates being so low, if you're going to refinance, let me ask you a question, Ace, okay?
Yeah.
Because I know if you're getting a mortgage, you need to pay off your debt, and you need to not charge, like, you know, a new debt or buy a new car when you think you're going to be buying a home.
Yep.
But now if you want to do, like, if you want to get equity, or you want to do a refi, which is what a lot of people are going to be doing now, do they check your credit, or what's the story with that?
Definitely. I mean, credit is something that the banks will take a look at, to look at your credit history, look at your payment behaviors, you know. So, and look, you know, just the topic on credit. In the summer, there's going to be a different way of scoring your credit score. So,
is it
going to
be better or not? You
tell us. Yeah.
It's going to be better, except the credit agencies, the boroughs, they're going to put a lot more stringent guidelines around being late on your mortgages and things of that nature, just to help the banks lower their default rate, which is actually at an all-time low right now. But the new credit score will give you a little bit more in terms of trends in your habits, your spending habits. So it'll be interesting to see.
And by the way, here's what I read, that the average person, okay, who refinances and will get a lower rate, and it's a down from a year ago at this time. I think I read that it was 4.9, okay, give or take, but 4.9. It's around that number.
Yep.
So even if you bought your property a year ago, if you bought it around this time, it's around 4.9. And so refinancing it, if you were only at 4.9, which was still a low rate.
Still low, yeah.
Okay, if you were only at 4.9, refinancing, okay, at the rate today, okay, would save you, which is about what, 3.7 or?
Right now it's around 3.25.
3.245. So it's refinancing today would save you like $160 or $170 a month.
Yeah, and depending on depending on the loan amount, Daddy, you know, the larger the loan amount,
and
the more savings.
And that's with that's with somebody who's at 4 point something, which is still low. Imagine if you were at 5 or 6 or 7. So please, when there's opportunities to really do things that save you money and don't cost you really anything, I think you should look at it. In addition, I think if you're buying a car or something, the loans are probably everything's cheaper now.
Yeah.
So it's a good time if you're buying cars. Now, what about student loans? Okay. I mean, I get so many calls or actually texts about that. What a lot of people's student debt is at a high interest rate.
It's at a high interest rate. That is still a challenge for a lot of millennials. And, you know, that's something that I think a lot of people need to inquire. A lot of people accept their student loan terms, but there are refinance, different products to refinance your student loans in it as well.
Okay, because I talk to a lot of kids and they have student debt, yeah, and they'll tell me the interest rate and it's ridiculously high.
And most students will just keep that rate, Dottie. You know,
okay, so if you know anybody or you're listening to this show, whether you're a student or you know somebody that's a student that has taken out student debt,
call us.
Okay, again, we're not trying to make money on this. It's just really that most people that have student debts don't realize that they can refinance, yes, that debt, and it could save them a ton of money. I know people that work in our company that keep on saying, I got to call Ace, and they haven't done it yet.
One of the biggest challenges too, Dottie, is that student loan debt, it's a huge revolving debt that banks look at when qualifying for a mortgage. So lowering that payment will definitely help your chances of getting a mortgage approved.
Right. So when you're applying for a mortgage, and like credit is king.
It is.
So don't look at it, gee, I only should do this when I'm buying a property. I mean, when you're buying a property, obviously you want to make sure you don't take on any new debt, you know, going forward if you're thinking of buying something. But your credit is kind of king,
yeah,
in anything you do. So make sure you keep on top of it and make sure that you listen to shows like this or go Google and look, because the worst that can happen is you make a phone call or you text or you call somebody or you go online, mm-hmm, and you find out that, hey, you know what, it really doesn't pay for me to do it.
And you know, Dottie and Andrew, we talk about it all the time. Financial literacy is key, right? So even before you're in the process of looking for a home, you should definitely be looking at your financial statements, looking at your cash flow, looking at your credit, seeing what, you know, how will you save for that down payment. So just preparing yourself for prior to, I would say, even 6 months to even a year before you're even thinking about looking for a home.
And you know something, and I think I've read articles, so I don't want to say that I'm the one who's brought this up, but I don't think that we really do a good job, at least I don't know now, but I don't think so, of really teaching our students financial literacy.
Yeah.
Okay, now you can go have earth science and biology, okay, and chemistry, and if you're not going to be a chemist, I don't really know, you know, other than the SATs that you probably do better at because you know what you're doing. Okay, but things that people need to know just to live in life, sometimes we don't teach. And I really kind of think looking at students and curriculum is really important to kind of take a step back. Sometimes, you know, I will find people say, I'll go, why are you doing that? They'll go, well, Dottie, that's how we always did it. Okay. And I find that it's like, okay, but just because you always did it that way doesn't mean you always should still do it that way. And every once in a while, we all have to take a step back and say, wait a second, why am I doing these things? Am I doing them because they're right to do today and they're still smart moves? Or am I doing them because I've always done it that way? Okay. Am I looking at mortgages because my parents told me that there's three kind of mortgages, you put 20% down or 25% down and you're not a veteran, so you can't apply that or get a V. Or do I really know all the products they're out today? And there's an article, and again, I don't have time to do it today because our time is almost up. But again, it was in the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, and it was like, here are the rules that your father and mother taught you that still are true, and here are the rules that don't exist anymore. And I read it yesterday or the day before, and it started out by saying, and I'm sure your parents all told you this, okay, here's what you do. You go to school, then you go to college, you get a degree, then you figure out your career and you get that job, and then you get married or you do it one or the other. Yeah, then you get married, then you get have your little family, and I'm not mocking it, and then you have your little picket fence and buy your home.
It's white, a white picket fence. It's very
definitely
important.
Yep. We all grew up with that. Okay?
White picket fence.
And so should you get married? Maybe, maybe not. Should you buy a home? Maybe, maybe not. Should you get that little house with the white picket fence? Maybe you don't want a picket fence. Okay? Maybe you want barbed wire. I don't know. But all I'm saying is we do things because sometimes it's the way it always was. It's very good once in a while to just take a step back and say, wait a second, does it work today? Or am I doing it because someone told me to do it and people do it like that? Or is it something that works today? And with that, I want to wish the Super Bowl everyone a good day. If you're watching the Super Bowl, it's going to be fun.
Yep.
And we'll see if Kansas wins. And if you're not, enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll be back next week.
Eye on Real Estate with Dottie Herman is sponsored by Citizens Bank NA.